Oh,
That's better. Oh, yes, I just had to get myself off mute. Done.
I believe.
All right, thank you. Okay. So moving back now to item three, sorry, which is a review application for 95 Australia Street for alterations and additions to an existing semi-detached dwelling. Two speakers registered. We have one an objection and the applicant. So, Mr. Thornley, if you're there as the objector, could you go first and make your presentation? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. My key concerns with this application is the process and the current outcome. The process wasn't great, and what appears to be errors from council mean that we're all here again despite prior refusal. The design from the beginning was fairly excessive and unsympathetic. It appears to have been somewhat of an effort to reach for more than is normally allowed by presenting something a little bit oversized, and then tuning it back with negotiation, which, I don't think is a great way to operate. But so be it. I know plenty of people do. And I guess the thing that's happened alongside of this is an argument of equity pointing to houses that are either bigger or sites that do not have existing contributory cottages on them as precedent, including my own. This is not how the process should be happening. The site contains an existing contributory cottage and it's on a corner. So that cottage is very well read in the streetscape. The DCP calls for the original cottage form to be respected and conserved, adding the bulk backward of the rear roof plane and ensuring that any linking structures in the rear roof plane are not dominant on the laneway facade, allowing the new element to be read clearly as separate to the original cottage and for that original cottage to be respected. The current conditioned roof form with deferred commencement essentially results in a huge addition to the rear, pitching up from the cottage ridge line. The conditions are meant mean that this massive surface of new roof has to drop below the cottage ridge instead of, as proposed, meet the ridge, effectively creating a box gutter in a terrible location with huge volumes of water heading towards it in heavy rain events. This doesn't work and should not be conditioned. I note that the facade is to be negotiated after the fact via deferred commencement. Nobody knows what will be allowed, what the materials are going to be, or how well visual privacy or shadowing, sorry, overshadowing will be addressed. Why can't the final form be worked out before it comes to the panel and make the process public? Is my question. The proposed sets a bad precedent for all contributory cottages in the LGA that are not within a heritage conservation area and adds a volume to that that ultimately has a high to the original cottage that ultimately has a high impact on adjoining neighbours with respect to overshadowing and visual privacy, which is rarely well managed with the blunt instrument of council conditions. Although it is noted that the proposed design at number 28 in street at least creates some landscape buffer to help address this particular issue. That's pretty much what I've got to say. I would like to see this sort of project assessed properly through a respectful planning process. And yes, people need to be able to develop, but we can't afford to be setting precedent in this way. It should be a revised DCP.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Thornley. Thank you for being concise. Sharon, do you have any questions, Mr. Thornley?
No, thank
No.
you.
Leah, any questions, Mr. Thornley? Leah, I can't see you, so could you?
Apologies, Chair. I was on mute. No, I don't have any questions.
Good, thank you. I don't have any questions either. So thank you, Mr. Thornley. Second speaker I have registered is Andrew Ireland as the applicant. So, Mr. Ireland, if you're there, could you go ahead, please?
Hi, my name is Andrew Ireland. We've met previously. I'm looking for the thing to share. There it is. Where the owners, as described, of 95 Australia Street, it's a freestanding Torrens Tuttle single-storey dwelling dominate in a streetscape dominated by two- and three-storey dwellings with an LEP max height of building of 9.5. It is not a heritage item. It is not within a heritage conservation area. A reasonably expected envelope and impacts within this height of building has recently been defined by the Inner West Council as a Category 3. That would be a 6 metre front wall height, two storeys attic, window, and three storeys at the rear. This is the diagram that you can see there. We ask that you reconsider the inclusion of the deferred commencement condition 1 with the reasoning that the existing ridge roof capping, as described by Mr. Thornley, would provide a box gutter behind a ridge that cannot be drained. The first floor addition, pushing back the first floor addition with a minimum of 200 and a setback of 1 metre, once again, provides a box gutter that cannot be drained. The limitation of the RL to 3200 means that we cannot actually have a reasonable ceiling height on the first floor. This diagram shows the impact of a box gutter that council is trying to propose with the condition. Condition or part C says a clip lock roof. We don't believe that this is in keeping with the character, and the angle between 2 and 4 degrees, we've been advised by builders that they will not warrant it. We've been advised by insurance assessors that it can't be insured. There's no such thing as a flat roof, and they're dangerous. This diagram shows what would happen if we kept the 3200 and had a 3 degree. 3200 is the red line, 3 degrees is the red line, 5 degrees is the red line. It makes a first floor unviable. The rear setback, item D, the rear setback is 4500. Deleting the front dormer. The front dormer is encouraged by the DCP and is also encouraged and a complying development under SEP attic conversions. We ask that the dormer remain. Modifying the internal layout will not improve the building. In fact, it will cause problems with bathrooms being not stacked. If we change to the way that council has requested, we will have bathrooms stacked above bedrooms and living areas, compromising the ceiling heights and acoustics of the lower spaces. Currently, we have bathrooms stacked above bathrooms, which is efficient in both circulation and allows us to stack pipes on pipes. We already have the existing riser at the back.
Excuse me, Chair, that is 3 minutes.
Thank you. Andrew, how much longer do you need?
4 items. Very brief.
Go through them. Thanks.
Item G, they've asked that we remove a window, WS15, in the sidewall parapet without reasoning. We believe this is the window, or the reasoning is to avoid the Royal Kingfisher. As you can see, it avoids the Royal Kingfisher. They have then asked in item H that we put a window back in that's 900 wide. So that means going from a 750 mil wide window to a 900 wide window with a sill height of 1.5 meters, giving the front bedroom only windows above 1.5 meters, which feels like a prison cell rather than a bedroom, a habitable space. They have also asked that the floor to ceiling heights be lowered. The impacts of this would be that considerable additional works, including the recently renovated original fabric, ceilings, cornices, ceiling roses, picture rails, brick fence, lighting, electrical, structural, air conditioning. It would also be below the existing window head heights. It would add significant time, cost, and materials. I believe the only issues they may have with the envelope are now driven by overshadowing. We have provided advice that the overshadowing complies and that most of the usable private open spaces are actually affected by the dividing fences between them. There is a conflict of interest that's occurring in the submissions in Australia Street. There are two architects who we heard from previously with competing agendas and conflicts of interest. not directly affected by the proposal who have orchestrated the submissions of the owners of Eaton Street and directly influenced the planning and applications process. We do not believe that the submissions are in good faith. While we're willing to take the approval with the conditions proposed and attempt to resolve the conditions later, we believe that the proposal as submitted is a better result and better addresses the concerns with less impact on streetscape, existing period dwelling, and the adjoining dwellings. We ask you to reconsider the deferred commencement condition one. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew. I have one question for you. If you could just explain to me why you say the box gutters can't be drained.
Because we have parapet, side parapet walls that are both built to the boundary. So if we put a box gutter there, it would need to...
penetrate the parapet.
It would need to be on the neighbour's property, either on the neighbour's property or on council property.
Okay, good. Thanks for explaining that. I'll just see if the other panel members have any questions. Sharon, do you have any questions?
Oh, yes, I did. Thank you, Brian. I just had a question about the chimney, which seems a bit elusive in the documentation. Is the chimney to be...
The second chimney?
The chimney to the front of the ridge.
Yep. Sorry, what's the question?
Oh, the question is that chimney proposed to be retained?
Yes, in its entirety. Chimney and the fire breasts on the existing fire breasts on the ground floor.
Okay, thank you. And I just had another question. If you could speak to the materiality and its relationship to the context.
Yeah, so we have... fibre cement sidewalls proposed, and they are set. All that's visible largely is the sidewall on the first floor. We have proposed fibre cement, as the DCP says, and then we are required that is set back from the existing mural wall by about 100 mil by about a brick width, and then. Has a privacy screening over the top of that. So there's both what it's trying to do is provide a material definition and prioritize the remnant ground floor first period dwelling. So that wall and set back the first floor, and then we're required to put privacy screening across it, so we're trying to actually consolidate that instead of having punctuated windows. Does that make sense?
Thank you. I think I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Anything further, Sharon?
No, not for me. Thank you.
Leah, do you have any questions?
No questions, Chair. Thank you.
Okay, good. Thank you. Thank you, Andrew, for that. It's very informative. Moving now to item 5. So this is the last item that we need to deal with today. Item 5, if I just open it up, is a further review application for 37 John Street, Leichhardt, for demolition of existing structures, construction of a new two-storey light industrial development to John Street, including new warehouse with mezzanine office to White's Creek Lane with associated site works. I have one registered speaker today, and that is item 5, Sandra D'Souza, who's the applicant. Sandra, if you're there,
yes.
if you could start, yes, and we can hear you.
My name is Sandra D'Souza. I'm here with my husband, Jamie D'Souza. We're the owners and developers of 37 John Street. I've registered to speak mainly to address any questions, if there are any. A little about ourselves. We're born and bred Inner West community members. We've grown up here and gone to school here and raised children here. My husband is a builder, mainly doing commercial fit outs and refurbs and small building projects. This opportunity came up to buy this property, so we decided to invest in the area to give us or Jamie a permanent workplace, as we were getting a bit tired and old of dealing with huge costs of relocating and leases, etc. Much to our dismay, the first application was rejected. We believe, together with our architect, Stephen Kuturik, who's on here as well, we've addressed all the points of concern and contention and have made a major change to the car park because this was causing more issues of concern. Due to the huge financial stress on us little one-time investors, mum and dad investors, and the stress and time, we're hoping that the changes are now suffice for approval as recommended by your assessment team.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I'm a little bit angry and shaken, but.
Sorry, who's this?
Yeah, that's how it is. I think it's.
Sorry, Sandra. Ruba or Claire or Geraldine, can we mute whoever that is, please?
I'm just trying to find it. Sorry, sorry, Chair.
I think it's Alex.
Sorry. So I was just saying there's just one point that I have to point out there that can they hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, sorry.
You're right.
There was just one thing we had to highlight on page 204, item 14. There just seems to be a misprint. The item there that reads DA04E should read DA04C for Charlie.
Sorry, Sandra, if I can interrupt you. This is in the conditions, right?
In the conditions, that's
correct. And so which condition number is it?
So it's item 14.
Okay, in the plan numbering.
In the plan numbering on page 204.
Right, so you submitted a more updated plan than the one that's...
No, I just think there's a misprint. It should be the revision we've submitted is DA04C and it says DA04E on there.
Okay, thanks. We'll look at that and see if it needs to be corrected. It could be a typographical.
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
Is that it? Is that all?
That's it. I just wanted to, I don't know if you heard my last, just due to the huge financial stress and length of time this is taking, we're hoping that we've addressed everything and that, you know, it will be recommended for approval as per your assessment team. And this is where we're at. And we're just here to answer any questions, I guess.
Oh, that's good. Thank you. And so you've gone through the conditions.
And that's the
only issue you've got is to do with that plan number.
So, yeah, everything else seems pretty straightforward if the CC is...
All right. Well, thank you for that. I'll just see if I don't have any questions for you.
Okay.
I'll see if any of the panel members do. Sharon, do you have any questions?
No, I don't. Thank you.
Leah?
I just wanted to clarify, if I may, the material that you're proposing for the side boundary, the one that runs between the courtyard and the rear of properties in Hill Street.
Yes. Yeah.
What were you proposing? It looks from the landscape plans that it's a timber fence. Is that correct?
Stephen, are you there, Stephen?
Sorry, if I might speak, my apologies, Chair. I missed the opportunity to talk.
We've got you now, which is probably opportune because with this question needs your input probably. So Leah's question is to do with the connection between... and if it's picked up main best, I think it's represented best on the landscape plan, and it's to do with you want to know what the fencing is on the boundary, is that right there?
Yes, it looks like part of it along the rear of number 8 Hill Street is timber. Then on the landscape plan is identified new retaining wall along boundary.
That is correct. So there is a retaining wall, a minor retaining wall, just to deal with the levels on the development side. And then above that will be a timber fence, a standard lap timber fence.
How high is the retaining wall?
The retaining wall will vary between 200 millimetres and 500 millimetres. So the land along there does slope.
So Stephen, on that landscaping plan, it's got the RLs for the subject land. It doesn't include any spot RLs for 6 or 8. But if you could tell, what is the approximate level difference between the subject land and 6 and 8?
There would be, as I said, it does vary because of the slope of the land. Yeah. It would vary between 200 millimetres and 500 millimetres.
So very fortunate we have the slope of the land. So the purpose essentially of this green, this area that's painted green, is to be a temporary detention storage area. Is that correct?
No, that isn't. So we provided a setback there to reduce the impact of the development on the residential development. And that's purely why we've had that setback. And it is also a DCP requirement to provide a setback which we've greened, so the outlook of the building isn't as severe for the residents of number 8, number 6.
So to the right of that green area, and you've got it open, haven't you?
Yes, I do.
So is that a pit?
That is just a stormwater pit for the collection of water.
So this green area has a secondary function to provide for the collection of stormwater?
Yes, so it is an open space, so there will be rainwater obviously hitting that space, and to deal with that, it'll go into the stormwater pit.
And the low boundary wall, the low retaining wall, will ensure...
Will be higher than the pit.
Yeah, so yes. You'll ensure that the...
Correct.
The stormwater is managed by this property.
Exactly, that's right, yeah. Right. So the neighbouring building isn't burdened by any runoff.
Runoff. Sorry, Leah, I took that over, but does that answer your questions?
Yes, I believe so. Thank you, Chair. Thank you.
Okay. And thank you, Stephen, for joining the meeting.
Sorry, I didn't get a chance to...
No. You came in just at the right time with the right information.
Thank you.
Perfect.
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you, everyone. Brings us to the end of the matters to be discussed today. And I must thank all of the people who have taken the time to make a presentation, both applicants, objectors and supporters. This process is incredibly useful for the panel to be able to hear firsthand from all of you. It's very helpful to have the written submissions, but it provides a different dimension to be able to actually hear from everyone who's made a presentation today. So thank you very much. We'll close the meeting now. The panel will go into closed session to deliberate on the matters. And the minutes of the panel ideally should be published by the close of business Friday, if not before, unless there's some matters that we might need to investigate further. So I'll close the meeting at 3:25 and thank you, everybody. And if the panel can just stay on, because I don't think we have a different link, is that right? To Jen.